Welcome to the Deeper Daily Broadcast with Pastor Paul White. We hope the good news of God's abundant grace and favor will be daily bread to your soul. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Paul.
Welcome today, friends, to the Deeper Daily Broadcast. With no delay, I want to get into a message that we started at the beginning of the week. This is entitled, Feeding on the Love of Jesus.
I took Lucas to a baseball game a few weeks ago. Since he was 3 years old, he and I have went to a Cardinal game for his birthday every year. His birthday's on the 4th of April. And so his birthday was just a few weeks ago. And a week or so after that, Cardinals had a home game. I always take him out of school. We go to a day game. And it's a big event for him every year, me and him. And we spend the whole day together and just have a good time. And this was the first year, thank God, this boy thinks about baseball 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He dreams of it. He stands around working on his swing all the time. He sits at the table working on his swing. Everything is baseball. Because it was the first year that I took him that he didn't want to get up and go monkey around during the game. And I said, thank you, Jesus. So we just sat and watched the game the whole time. And because he's just consumed on it. We're walking into the ballpark. I don't know, have you been to a game? But there's 40,000 people, you know, pressing to get in. And so the streets are packed. And we parked south of the stadium. We got about three blocks to walk, maybe four. And we got to pass about four bars to get to the ballpark. And there's just music blaring and people already drinking. And I'm walking with Lucas. And there's a guy sitting on the step of one of the bars, real scraggly, long stringy hair. He's real dirty. He's got a little cardboard sign that says, I'm homeless, anything will help. And he's got a little plastic cup. And he's not even really looking at anybody. He's just kind of staring at the sidewalk. And Lucas has brought money. I'm carrying it for him because for some reason 10-year-old boys never have shorts with pockets. And so I'm carrying money in my pocket for him. And so we walk into the ballpark. And we walk past that guy and he says, Dad, what's he doing? And I said, well, his sign says he doesn't have anywhere to live. So he's asking for help. Anybody wants to give him some help, drop money in. We went in. I didn't think anything more of it. We get in the park. He's, like I said, he's got his own money. And I notice he buys a baseball and he buys something else. He always gets something at the game. But I noticed that he would ask how much everything cost when we would buy something. I figured out he's wanting to keep some money left over. I said, what are you keeping money left over? Oh, I might buy some baseball cards or something on the way home. You're not going to buy them in the park because they're about $400 a pack. And you got four, you're down to $3. And he's down to $3. Three crumbled up $1 bills, which at the stadium will get you, you know the wrapper the hot dogs are made in? You can lick it for $3. Like they'll put some mustard on it and then scrape it off and go, here, you can lick this. That's $3. I know, because we did. So he didn't have enough to do anything. And so we get out on the game. I haven't thought anything more about his little crumbled up $3. And we get almost to the vehicle, and we're passing the last bar, and there's the same guy. And he's sitting there with that cup. And Lucas says, Dad, give me my $3. And I said, why? What are you going to do with it? You got to ask a kid. You're going to do it for $3. And he said, I want to give it to this guy. Now, the experienced world traveler, I know better than you, Dad, and me, raises up, and I'm about to say to him, son, because you know what I'm thinking. Son, this guy's going to go right in that bar. He's going to drink it away. And he probably ain't even homeless, son. You know, the Holy Spirit spoke real quick because the Holy Ghost is always right there just waiting. Holy Ghost in me spoke and said, don't steal this from your son. I'm bringing my compassion out in his life. And the more I walked, the more the Holy Spirit talked. And I gave him the money and I watched him put it in the cup. And the guy didn't even look up, just staring at the sidewalk. And we kept walking. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, the world will try to beat that out of him. They'll call him naive. They'll call him uneducated. They'll do whatever they can to try to get him to stop compassion. The reason it flows so simple from him is he has the knowledge that he is a son. And he has the confident love of his father walking next to him. Gives him the ability to be compassionate and loving. The power to love is found in feeding on the love of your father. Amen. So I got a message preached to me. Amen. Two blocks south of the stadium. Don't tell me you can't learn anything at a ball game. Other than you need to bring more money. Because you will learn that too. Bring more money. So his compassion is, as we sing today, new every morning. And he brings it out through a confident, I am his son. And you will not be able to help how much you love your neighbor and you love your fellow church people and you love your pastor whenever you know how much Father loves you. Won't be able to help it. I can't help but love you. I love you if I think you're doing good. I love you if I know you're doing bad. I love you when you're at church two times a week, and I love you when you're not at church 3 months in a row. I love you because I have a confidence that I am his son, and compassion can flow easy in that understanding. You want to walk in his peace every day. You want to feast on who he is, feast on his loveliness. Can I have 12 more minutes? And that's how long it is till 12, before you have to stare at your watch. I'm just giving you a heads up, all right? In 12 more minutes. Go to the book of Leviticus. I'm going to teach you the love of Jesus and how to feed on the love of Jesus. Now, I want you to notice something. I told you this earlier. The Holy Spirit is only inspired by the love, the loveliness of Jesus Christ. And let me say it a little better. The Holy Spirit feeds only on that which is finished. He doesn't feed on your unfinished work. If you're doing stuff to try to impress the Holy Ghost, because I've heard people say, boy, so-and-so can really preach because he paid that price. What they mean is he prayed better than everybody else and fasted longer than everybody else and he gives more than everybody else and God blesses him because of it. No. Nobody gets blessed because they paid that price except Jesus. So if you get blessed, it's because Jesus in you paid that price. You understand? Thank God. I'd rather Jesus have paid the price than me. Jesus paid the price. Now I want to show you there's five offerings in the Old Testament that were for man that were a shadow of Jesus. How many of you know Jesus was our one sacrifice forever? Amen. So the five offerings, five the number of grace. God gave five offerings in the Old Testament that epitomize. You wrap all of them up and you get Jesus. Okay? Now I'm not going to preach all five. You know we don't have that kind of time. But I do want to show you a little bit about the peace offering from Leviticus chapter 7, which starts in the 11th verse, but that would just give you the description of it. We don't have time to read all of the description, so let's pick it up in verse 28, okay? Leviticus 7, 28. And the Lord spoke to Moses and said, speak to the children of Israel and say, he that offers the sacrifice of a peace offering to the Lord shall bring his oblation, that's his sacrifice, his offering, shall bring it to the Lord of the sacrifice of his peace offerings. His own hands shall bring the offering of the Lord, underline the phrase, made by fire. In other words, before he brings it to God to wave it before the Lord, he must burn it on the altar. The fire of the altar is a shadow of the substance of Jesus being judged at the cross for your sins. Fire is a representation of God's judgment. That's why the brazen serpent on the pole, because it was brass, meaning it was heated. So the offering had to be heated. Never feed on Jesus that isn't finished work. Don't just feed on the moral Jesus. Christians trying to imitate Jesus. Be like Jesus. You can't be whole by imitating Jesus. You must feed not on it sodden, not on it watered down, as God told Israel in Egypt, but on made by fire, the fat with the breast. It shall he bring, that the breast, not the fat, the breast may be weighed for a wave offering for the Lord, and the priest shall burn the fat on the altar, and the breast shall be Aaron and his sons. Whenever you divided the animal on the altar, there would be fat and what the Bible called dross, oftentimes. Intestines and things that you can't use. You would separate the meat from the intestines, the meat from the fat. He specifically, and this is amazing, can't be coincidence. God must have done this on purpose. He specifically lists the breast, the meatiest part of the animal, the best tasting meat. Now, when Jesus is sitting in the Last Supper and Peter looks over, Jesus just said, one of you is going to betray me. The Bible says Peter looks over at John. It doesn't say John. It says, the disciple whom Jesus loved is leaning on Jesus' what? Breast. And Peter says, ask him who it is. The knowledge that he was the disciple whom Jesus loved caused everybody else to filter their questions through him, because when you know you're the one Jesus loves, wait and see how many people ask you to pray for him. You understand? Because you're on intimate terms with Jesus. I'm familiar with him, but you're intimate. the disciple whom Jesus loves resting on Jesus' breast. Because while resting on the bosom, you're near the heart. The breast speaks of love and compassion. This is why in John 1, the only begotten of the Father came from the bosom of the Father. Did you know that means that Jesus came from the Father's bosom, the breast of God, the heartbeat of God? Jesus came right out of there. Whenever he pulled woman from man, he pulled woman from man's side. When he pulled Jesus from himself, he pulled him from his heart. And put him in the human body. That thrills my soul. He put him on the earth. So the breast meat becomes love. Now, watch what happens. You take the breast meat and the fat. You burn the fat up on the altar because the fat's the waste. At Calvary, God put the breast meat and the fat on the altar. But he pulled the breast meat off and let your fat burn. The fat's the waste and the sin. The judgment and the condemnation. He pulled the breast off. He only left Jesus on there long enough to cook him through. Everything else he burned up. So what happened? The love of God in Jesus, he brought forth from the grave so that the love of God could live through you. But where's your fat? Gone. The sin, the dross, the filth burned up. Now what does the priest do? He doesn't take the fat. He lets the fat burn. He takes the breast and he waves it before the Lord. Now waving it means he literally moves it back and forth. And why would you do this? Fresh food, the smell. You ever smell when the cooking's almost done and you come into the kitchen? You don't even have to go into the kitchen. Just pull up in the driveway. The windows are open. Yeah. Oh, about pass out in the driveway. It's so good. As you waved it before the Lord, it's a wave offering to the Lord. Who smells it first? The Lord. Notice that the Lord feeds off of the love of Jesus. And then who does the breast go to? According to your text, it goes to Aaron and his sons. Aaron in the Old Testament is a type of the Aaronic priesthood of Jesus. Jesus is your high priest. So Jesus fed on the finished work. And who gets it next? Aaron and his sons. How many of you are sons of the living God? Amen. So look what happens. The love of Jesus is waved before God. God likes it. And you get it. So whenever you feed on the finished work of Jesus, you're feeding on that which excites the Holy Ghost in you. Literally, he comes alive. Why? Because you have now fed on who, not what. Romans 7, who, not what. And by feeding on who, not what, you get it. Now, I showed you Old Testament Jesus. Let's make sure Paul agrees with this, okay? Because we could just be making this up, right? You know, Leviticus 7, oh, maybe that's the Lord, maybe it's not. What if Paul talks about it? Paul talks about we know we're solid. 2 Corinthians. I'm rushing to the end. Stay with me. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 2, verse number 14. Now, thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Where's my triumph? In Christ. I could get over my Romans 7 stuff if I can get in Christ, right? And makes manifest the savor, Greek, the smell, of his knowledge by us in every place. Look at that. You smell like the finished work of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the message. That concludes the sermon, Feeding on the Love of Jesus. You've been listening to it all week long here on the Deeper Daily Broadcast, and I hope that you have been blessed and that it has touched your heart. If you'd like a copy of this message, it's over an hour long and it's all on one CD. It's called Feeding on the Love of Jesus, and we'll send it to you as our gift. Postage paid and free of charge just for the asking. We hope to hear from you very, very soon. Come back next week as we're going to go into another sermon. And this is going to be from a Wednesday evening. And I know it's going to bless you. I'm very excited about airing it for you. It's called When the Bitter Becomes Sweet. We'll see you on Monday. God bless.
Thank you for joining us for the Deeper Daily Broadcast. To order products mentioned in today's program, write us at Paul White Ministries, P.O. Box 985, Poplar Bluff, Missouri 63902, or call us at 573-686-2414. To order online, visit our website at www.paulwhiteministries.org. May God's abundant grace and favor be with you in Jesus' lovely name.